With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4.
Hey, real quick, I know he can't hear this. It sucks for him, but shout out to David out in the hallway. I guess he won something. He was up here claiming it, and when I went to go use the restroom, he's like, hey, man, big fan of the show. Okay. I was like, you're the one.
Did you wash your hands?
Of course.
No,
why would you?
I thought you asked David.
No, he wasn't in the bathroom. Okay. He was just standing in the hall or in that
Did you shake hands with him or fist bump?
No, I just said, hey. Oh. And he goes, hey, man, big fan of the show. And I said, thanks, bro. What's your name? And he said, David. That was it. That's the whole story. No other things happened or didn't happen.
Okay.
So shout out to David.
Shout out, David. Thanks. And appreciate the listener.
He's probably still here getting his prize, and he can't hear this. But
well timed on your
part. Maybe his friends will tell him. So
all right. So right about now, this time of day on Fridays, we do the Big Three with JB. So, Nick, without further ado, we might as well get into it.
This is the Big Three with JB. Take one.
Look, we talked a little bit about it earlier in the show, but the fact of the matter is, if you're a sports fan, there's nothing like the two words Game 7, even if it happens to be the NHL. And I know that not a lot of people down in the South are big fans of regular season NHL, but playoff hockey is at another level, and it is fantastic to watch. And a lot of you probably couldn't stay up if you even knew it was going on, but a double overtime, sudden death, conference final game in the NHL is as exciting gets, whether you're a hockey fan or not. So don't miss it. Check out the Stanley Cup at least once. See if the games are compelling, interesting, and exciting. And maybe you'll become a fan of the sport. But if not, at least be able to tip your cap and say, hey, as a sports fan, that's pretty awesome.
Take two.
All week we've had to hear about LeBron, MJ, who's the best, who's the greatest of all time, and the fact of the matter is, it doesn't really matter. Maybe you want to be cut and dried like Tom Brady in the NFL, or maybe even Jerry Rice, or maybe you believe statistics overcome anything that you see with the human eye. It doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, whether you're a LeBron guy, an MJ guy, or even a Kobe guy, the fact that you're alive and able to witness them play at the height of their game and set the records and gather the stats that they've gathered means you're in a very special time. There was an era when basketball wasn't quite as successful, and there was an era where basketball might not have been around had it not been for the emergence of Larry Bird and Michael Jordan, who then paved the way for guys like LeBron and today's NBA. So appreciate the game, and though the playoffs haven't been great this year, tune into the finals because it no doubt will have some more compelling matchups and hopefully some more dramatic endings. But in the meantime, the league is in good hands, thanks to both LeBron James now, Michael Jordan back then, and those that paved the way before them.
Take three.
We always tell you on Fridays to have a good weekend, and it's always great when people can talk about the fact that they get 3 days off. But the most important thing this weekend, and it's not a sports take, it's a life take. Please, no matter what you do, take some time to give thanks to those that are going to be at least honored on Memorial Day by the military and others. There are people that gave their lives for your freedom. There are people that gave their lives so that you guys can live in the life that you live now as part of the country that you live in. And that's part of what Memorial Day is. That is what Memorial Day is. So yeah, it's an extra day off, and yeah, it's some time with your family. But the only reason it's all there is because these people made the ultimate sacrifice so that you can enjoy the freedoms of the United States of America. So tip your cap to your people that have given their lives, your servicemen now, your police, your fire department. But make sure you pay homage on Memorial Day, not just take it as a paid day off.
That was the Big Three with JB.
So we covered a lot of ground in the short time that we have been on the air, Barry. But we did cover the Astros to some degree, but another big series.
Did we?
We talked about what we watched.
We didn't break it down pitch by pitch. Are you ready? Inning one, first pitch. What'd you think?
I thought it was a little bit outside.
No, you're wrong. You weren't watching.
No,
obviously.
I was. I just thought
stat tracks.
The home plate umpire was not on his game.
Hey, fun fact: your Astros still have the best record in baseball.
Yes, they do. And the Rangers lost again, thanks to the Boston Red Sox.
Suck it, Ranger fan.
So the lead is growing again.
Eight. Yep, they're tied with the Angels now. Other fun facts: your Astros have the most home wins in the major leagues. Other fun facts: they're second in road wins. Do you know who would be first? You want to venture a wild guess? I'll give you the hint that they're in the AL Central.
The Yankees?
That would be the AL East.
Oh, sorry. Oh.
I just got swept by them.
The Indians?
Yeah.
And really?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, that team meeting that they had before they came to Houston...
Yeah.
Kind of turned the tables a little bit.
A little bit. They're two out behind the Twins. They're 6-4 in their last 10. So
everybody
other
thinks
than the
Minnesota is going to win that division.
Yeah. Other than the sweep, there's really not a lot of teams right now. You know, you remember how hot everyone was telling you that the Rangers were.
Right.
And now they're 6-4 in their last 10, just like the Astros. The hot team in baseball right now? Arizona Diamondbacks, 9-1 in their last 10.
Really?
Balling out of control, one game behind the Rockies. Yeah. They're putting it up there. That was a few guys' sleeper picks. Not even like wild cards. And I don't even remember if I mentioned them, but I know there were guys that publicly said, the Arizona Diamondbacks are a sleeper. You guys should pay attention to them. Kind of like I did with the Rockies. There were dudes on the Diamondbacks, which surprised me.
First of all, you can't do that because their softball uniforms are atrocious.
The Diamondbacks?
Yeah. Have you seen all the different combinations?
Light blue now that they have with the names?
Well, they have the dark gray, and they have, like, black. And they literally look like softball uniforms with the matching pants and the patterns built into the shoulders.
Speaking of that, there's a lady in our neighborhood.
Okay.
You know, the neighborhood Facebook thing?
Oh, yeah.
She posts this thing that says, I have the following sports items for giveaway and or sale. And it's all kid stuff. And one of the things that she sell, where do you fall on this? One of the things that she's selling is 8 pairs of baseball socks.
Ooh, no. Wait, the stirrups or the sanitaries?
Just socks. It just says 8 athletic baseball socks in a variety of colors. Some are Under Armour. Free.
I'm not putting my... No, I don't care I'm not wearing someone else's socks.
No.
No.
I don't care if they are kids. Why would you start your kid's life off with athlete's foot in the first 8 years of his life? Who's getting used socks?
I wouldn't wear used clothes, so there's no way you're putting
socks
on my feet.
I do.
Underwear is where he starts.
I bought one shirt from the Buffalo resale shop or whatever one time. I washed it before I wore it. That's the only time I've ever washed a shirt before I wore it. No, I'm definitely not buying used socks. And then I have to replace my air filters in my AC.
Yeah.
And I was online on Amazon buying them because it's a little cheaper.
Yep.
Don't tell me there were used filters.
Yes. They were like, buy this product, use, and save $3.
What the hell?
What?
Doesn't that defeat the purpose?
Yeah, a little bit, right?
What the hell?
I was like, all right, this is beyond ridiculous.
That reminds me of the whole open box price, which I think is an absolute scam. Oh, the open box? This is a $300 item, but if you get the open box, it's $297. Oh, thanks.
Yeah,
appreciate
$3. I'm really going to, so I could have a bunch of stuff missing from it.
Yeah. I'll just pay the extra $3.
Best Buy's open box stuff is crap.
Oh, no, it's not.
No, it is not. There's no deals.
Oh, yes, there is.
Oh, so you're an open box kind of guy?
I've gotten 2 great deals on open box at Best Buy, saved like 50% or more off of television, and to this day, never had a problem with the TV.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm not an open box guy at all. Best Buy open box policy.
But I didn't know you saved that much, though. I always thought it was like
it depends.
A tiny percentage.
I don't know if it's store by store if they can dictate how much the discount is. But boy, if you get the right one at the right time, oh yeah, you can catch a deal. No doubt about it. Why are you laughing?
Text messages, obviously.
No, because...
He's disagreeing with me.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking, like, have I ever bought an open box thing from Best Buy? And I think every time I've gone to buy, it's not been a deal. Like, it's...
Well, I
would never
really
save. It's literally $5 off.
One, I wouldn't have gotten it if it wasn't a deal. And two, I made sure I talked to the manager and said, look, I get it. And there's that as is. But if I go home and set it up and the remote or something. He goes, no. We've got ways. We'll take care of it. If you have any issues with the remote or a cord or anything that you're missing, we'll make sure we get that. And got home. Everything was there. Set it all up. TV, I've had it to this day, and I've never had an issue with it.
Okay.
So
my issue with Best Buy is one time I bought like a plasma TV, and it wasn't an open box, but they sold it as brand new, and I didn't realize it was an open box until I opened it.
And it was out of plasma.
It worked completely fine. I was too lazy to put it back in the box and take it back, so I just kept it. But that was like but ever since then, I've been like super, like, you know, cautious sketchy, about buying open box stuff.
I ordered a TV from them. I ordered when we moved into this new house.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like a 53-inch mm-hmm. TV, mm-hmm. and because we have our fireplace, that's where we wanted to hang it, and it's like a bigger space, so I had to save up and get a bigger TV. That's what I told my wife, anyways. Mm-hmm. But so I go to Best Buy and I order it for delivery, and I go to pick it up. Well, I guess I ordered online and had it delivered. That's what it was. I ordered online, had it delivered to the Best Buy. I go to pick it up. I take the TV home. I take it out of the box, and it was the curved TV mm-hmm. and not the flat one that I had ordered.
Isn't those like nicer though?
So I looked it up. Yeah, it was way nicer. Yeah. So Daddy just hung that on the wall, and I never said a word. I'm like, well, you're bad.
Smart man.
You're bad. You gave me the wrong TV.
I'm with you. I wouldn't have taken it back
Hell
either.
Hell no.
Would have hung it up
Come
real
and take
quick.
It.
You can people start bitching about, hey, man, you gave me a 4K. Let me tell you something. You hang on to that.
Yeah.
It's by the way, just fine for you.
By the way, the TV came with the 3D glasses. Never used them.
Yeah.
That might be the biggest waste ever.
You didn't even try them?
Yeah, and then went.
Well, then how is it a waste if you haven't even tried it?
I did. I said, yeah, and then went, well, this is lame. Like, I did
so
it
wasn't
one
that,
time. Yeah, no,
I think
sucks.
That's a good look for you. I think you should have
3D glasses. I should rock
video
those.
Video you rocking them.
Okay.
Yeah, put that bad boy out there.
I know we're going to do this call, but real quick, somebody texted in, my sister April Woods, 17th birthday today. She listens. Can y'all shout her out?
Sure. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
No.
Nick and I do.
Okay, yes. I take that back. No, you can't get the no shout out.
No,
but you got
not.
One from Joel.
Yeah. All right, fine. Happy birthday,
okay,
April.
Happy birthday.
Nick. Joel's face. I love it.
I see which team Nick always jumps on. All right. Jade is here. Jade wants to get in. Jade wants to talk about this open box from Best Buy. What you got?
Hey, I used to work over at a Best Buy, and I can tell you from experience that open box items normally are a really good discount.
Yeah. Thank you, Jade. I appreciate that.
Are they? Jade?
He used to work at one.
Yeah, they normally are. I mean, it comes down to the discretion of the general manager on how much you'll get off that day. But if it's been sitting in inventory for 2 to 3 months, you can easily get $400 or $500 off the TV.
So you can get a good deal, but you have to negotiate. You have to have some negotiating skills, is what you're saying.
Yeah, as long as the inventory is there.
So do you go and ask for a deeper discount, or are you just saying that the GM might price it less just because he feels like it, or it's been sitting there a while?
No, you can ask. You can ask what they can do on it. I mean,
okay.
I've had plenty of customers before. Ask me, you know, how low can you go on this, and I'll tell them a price, and that's what we'll sell it for.
Oh, okay.
There's some days where we would fire sell open box computers and all that stuff, and we would just, whatever price we can sell them, I just get them out of the door.
Nice. Which Best Buy do you work at?
Yeah,
he
Jade.
Said he used to work at one.
Oh, okay.
Appreciate the call, Jade.
Yeah, thanks, Jade. Look at Nick trying to get in there, trying
right?
to get himself
I was literally going to drive down to that Best Buy, because you know he's going to hook us up if he still worked
Cheap
there.
Cheap ass Nick.
I'm like, what's the lowest you can do?
Yeah.
He's going to be like, $200. Bucks. I'm
how
like, no, but how what's the lowest you can do for me?
Yeah. How much for one rib? That'd be Nick. Screw the cup. Just pour it in my hand for a dime.
But if it's prime, I want it on pizza, and I want it on Sunday. Prime rib on pizza? Really?
No, not prime rib. Ribeye.
Oh, ribeye
Medium
steak?
Rare ribeye steak.
Oh, okay.
Cubed up. Ready to go. Here's an Astros question. We could talk on the other side. Yeah. I'll give you a chance to think about it, because I know you need it. This is from Texas City, quote, the real 409. That's the texter saying it. Says, I know the sample size is small with the Astros, but would you feel more comfortable in exploring a trade with Evan Gattis or Juan Centeno for another arm in the rotation? So we'll answer that coming
up. We'll get it back on the way back. So we've got plenty more show to get to, expecting Robert Ori around 3:30. Lots of Astros talk still to be had. Another big series with another pretty damn good team in the American League. The Baltimore Orioles are in town starting tonight for a three-gamer. Three-gamer or four-gamer?
Three.
Three-game series. So a big one. So if you want to talk about Astros or anything else, give us a shout, 713-780-ESPN. Or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick, Barry, Joel, till 4, usual suspects. Back for more. 2 in the books. 1. Almost. Uh-oh. To go.
We've got a skirmish breaking out on the text lines. Because the one that said, no, not me anymore. The one guy said 409, Texas City, the real 409. And now there's another text rolling in from another 409er. Did your listener say that Texas City is the real 409? Get the hell out of here. Beaumont, Port Arthur, and Orange. Actually, it's Conroe, right? Wasn't that the OG 409?
Was it?
Conroe and Galveston, I believe.
Ever since I've been here, I always assume 409 is like Beaumont and beyond.
No, it was around.
Texas City really qualifies?
Yeah. There's a skirmish breaking out, guys.
So it goes from I-10
maybe they'll meet in the parking lot.
45 South?
It did, yeah. It used to go from Conroe around to Galveston. It would circle the city, engulf it in a 409.
Remember the days when we just had one area code?
Yeah, I remember the days when you just had to dial the 7 digits.
Yes.
That was
yes.
It. Now we're all fancy. With the 10.
Even up in Canada, in Milwaukee, they have more than one area code now.
Do they? It's not necessary. Yeah, Canadian numbers are weird, right? You have to do the conversion.
And you got to drink beer and eat cheese before you dial the first number, too. So, whatever.
A couple more texts on the open box thing. Open box and factory refurbished, totally worth it. This is from Justin. Never had a problem and have saved thousands on electronics. All right, I don't trust them, but okay. My college roommate's a manager at Best Buy. Normally marks stuff to just over cost. But you can get stuff way lower if they need to get rid of it. So I think the consensus on Twitter and text is
you can get a good
deal. It's a good deal. And I'm probably going to be hard-headed and say no. All right. The text about would you trade Gattis or Centeno for an arm? Well, number one, no one is taking your third catcher in a trade.
Now, Gattis has some marketability, but still, you're not going to get a 1-2 out of it.
No. And right now, I was reading that link that you guys put in the rundown from the, I guess it's the crawfish boxes. And they make a good point in this article towards the bottom. It talks about other notables. This is worth, I mean, it's worth noting, but they say Evan Gattis had only his two games at DH in May. Mm-hmm. Usually that's Carlos Beltran, but right now his slash line is 234, 278, 373. So Gattis starts at DH. Beltran's struggling a little bit at DH. And so do you want to get rid of a guy that can fill that hole and is your backup catcher? I don't think so.
This goes along the lines of what you and I have been saying in a lot of different areas. Don't blow it up this year for the sake of trying to think you may get better when what you got right now. When we talked about Marwin's ability to be second on the depth chart at every infield position, when we talked about what you just talked about with Gattis, when we talked about versatility in the outfield, and you can have one of the best defensive outfields in baseball in the final 3 or 4 innings,
yeah,
leave it alone.
Guys, I get it. As fans, we all want to have every single best player, but you don't tinker with the best team in baseball. If they were bad right now, if they weren't hitting,
right.
If you weren't getting any production from the catcher position or DH or whatever, then yeah, let's talk about, hey, who should we trade? There's just not a lot of that going on. If you want to get rid of some of the prospects, all right, yeah, cool, let's go get an arm.
Yeah, if you were the Indians before the Astros series and you were scoffing and you were, you know, just hovering around 500, now there might be a lot more reason to press the panic button.
Yeah, I mean,
you just said they're the best freaking record in the game still.
Yeah, the Nationals need a closer. They're blowing games because their closer and their bullpen sucks. That's a team that, although they're playing well and they're doing well, they still need help. I mean, they're 28-18, still first in their division. They're 5-5 in their last 10. Because their bullpen is not that good. That's a team that needs to go out and make some moves to get a closer. Go out and get the White Sox closer. But this team, this Astros team right now, that what they need more than anything is not to get rid of a bat.
No. They're,
that lineup, right. You don't change that. You add. You don't yes. You don't subtract. You add. And if you can get rid of, you know, some minor league pieces, then do it. Now, I asked you this question the other day, and we didn't talk about it on air because you never really gave me an answer.
I like to do that.
But I wanted to ask you on air, and Nick, I'll ask you too, even though I know you probably don't care. But let's assume for a second that the Astros are in the market for an arm, and uh-huh. they're going to go out and make a deal for Gerrit Cole.
Uh-huh.
If the Pirates came back and asked for Francis Martis,
mm-hmm.
and you know a double A prospect, mm-hmm. a really good double A prospect,
mm-hmm.
and Chris Devinsky, would you do it?
I would not.
Okay, why not?
Because the versatility, again, we were just talking about versatility. Mm-hmm. But I love the versatility of Devo. He can be a spot starter. He can be long relief. He can come in and get you a couple of outs and strikeouts when you really need them. And everybody in Major League Baseball is talking about managers and general managers should be in the market to try and go out and find the next Chris Devinsky. And I'm fine with the first two guys on that list and the people that I have picked their brains and people that know baseball that are following baseball say, you can probably get him for Martis and a double-A prospect and maybe a couple of A-ball prospects. But if they insisted on throwing Devinsky in there, I go back to what you just said. I don't want to tinker with anybody on the major league roster right now. I don't want to – and obviously you got your third-string catcher playing right now. But aside from that, I don't want to mess with what they have that's been a success to this point. But I don't mind dipping into the farm system if it means getting that valuable arm you need in your rotation.
See, I would do it because I think you have enough at the back end of that bullpen. You know, the way that Peacock is pitching this year, there's no guarantee that he's going to continue that. But if you look at the May that Devinsky's had, he's given up in the last four games, he's given up five earned runs in his last four outings. He's gone a third of an inning and gave up three. And then he went 3.2 in a row without giving up a run. And then that last outing against Detroit, he gave up two. He's susceptible. He's damn good. But he's not a can't-move piece to me. I like what he does. I like what he brings. And I like that he can give you some long relief. But so can Feliz and some of these other guys like Peacock. They can get you from the fifth to the seventh when Harris comes in. I definitely do that because I value Cole in the playoffs way more. If you got to face Dallas Keuchel and Gerrit Cole... and Lance maybe McCullers. Lance McCullers and two of those guys twice, like Cole and Keuchel. I like that because you may only see Devinsky in one game in the playoffs. There's a lot more value postseason with that kind of starter versus what he brings to the bullpen, in my opinion. Because you probably don't need Devinsky if Keuchel, Cole, and McCullers pitch up to what their capabilities are. You get through the seventh inning and then you go straight to Gregerson and Giles. So, yeah, he has value, and what he does is fantastic, but you're also, right now, your rotation is a 1-2-3 and 2-5. So when those 2-5s are pitching, Devinsky's way more valuable. You add Cole, you push that one of those 5s out, you don't really need him as much. So that's just me. What, Nick, you?
I just think it's too risky because I think Devinsky has trade value, but I don't think it's just too risky to trade Devinsky right now because you don't know what you have in him. He might blossom a little bit later in the season. For me, it's a scary situation, a scary approach.
Huh? Cool. I just want to see what you guys would do.
There you have it, the last word. We'll be back with much more on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
I'm not a coward. I've just never been tested. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oh, if you could have the conversations we have during commercial breaks, it would be fun and games that never end. Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, The Usual Suspects. Right now, want to welcome in to the show, number 25 in your game program, number 1 in your heart, from your 2-time world champion NBA champion, Houston Rockets, Robert Ori. Robert, welcome to the show. Appreciate it.
Hey, man, what's going on?
What's up, man? We were supposed to be there with you. I'm sorry we are not. But it would have been good to see you in person. But you and I go back quite a ways. First question I want to ask you, because now you've had some time to reflect and look back. I remember the days traveling with you when you were the closest thing to Michael Jackson walking either in every city we went to. And I remember bitching to you about the fact that here you are making NBA money and getting everybody to give you everything free and like applaud everywhere you go. And here's this guy sitting there with you trying to just make a buck. But now I know it all came easy back then, but now you've had some time to reflect. Those were some pretty damn good times when everything was rolling right.
Man, it was some awesome times. You got to realize, especially being in the city, who was for a championship, and to come here, especially after, you know, everybody booed me when they grabbed me because they were like, oh, we won't hire Miner. Oh, we won't trade the Bird. Who is this kid, Robert Horry? So, you know, and then, you know, turn those crazy non-believers into believers was a great feeling. It was, you know, it was a great time. Played with some great players. It was one of those times where you look back and you think about, man, I was a rookie, was second year, winning a championship, stepping into the perfect situation. So I was extremely happy about it.
I wanted to ask you about that because, you know, I do remember that draft, and I do remember people being upset and everyone wanting baby Jordan. Did that motivate you or did you not care? I mean, was that part of, you know, give you a little extra something to go out there and prove all the naysayers wrong?
Well, it motivates you. You always want to try to go out and do your best. And then when people boo you or doubt you, you know, you go out and you play hard. You know, just like when Dick Vitale called me the most overrated player in high school, you know, I went out and just used that as motivation. It's funny, as athletes, we find the biggest thing to the smallest thing to help push us because you always need that extra log on the fire to get you burning inside to keep you going. And I know people say, well, you have to do it for the love of the game and for this and that. But sometimes you just, it's always cool to have that extra additive to push through and do things you need to do.
Well, and Robert, I was going to say, it depends on the player too, doesn't it? Because you knew a guy like Dream that was just, he found his own motivation, his own ways, and he got out and did it. But I've told people time and time again with James Harden, he's kind of the guy that needs that extra motivation. But when he gets it, like everybody saying that the Kardashian curse and everything cursed him the year before, that he's going to come out and he's going to prove people wrong. And it just seems like, you know, it's just like you say, some guys you got to give tough love to and some guys you got to coddle in the locker room. It seems like more and more that there are those guys that need that external motivation.
Yeah, you need it because it's like when you go out and you play this game for so long, I'm not saying that it gets boring, but it gets difficult to get up and do that over and over again. And so we have to find these little things to turn on that switch. And it's not a bad thing. Every guy does it. You have to. I know, like, some people get up and do the same job every day. You have to give motivation. Your motivation is your kids. You say, okay, I got to provide for my kids. Or you say, oh, I got to provide for myself or whatnot. So you find little ways to keep yourself pushing on. And I think everybody understands that.
Seven-time NBA champ, Robert Horry. Which one means the most? There's got to be one that's more special than the rest. Which one is it?
No doubt. Man, 95 championship means a lot to me. I mean, I could talk about that one for days, you know, being a sixth seed and all the things we have to overcome that year, you know, doing a big trade, getting Clyde, and sending away my best friend on the team, Otis Thorpe, you know, one of my best friends, and, you know, having to deal with that. And I think people sometimes forget that you develop friendships and you develop a different love for cities, and when you get traded away or a teammate gets traded away, it hurts. You know, people say, oh, you shouldn't care because you're making all this money, but you still have feelings and emotions that get involved. So that season was, you know, crazy. Defending champions, nobody expected us to repeat. We got no love from the television stations. We got no love from ESPN. We got no love from Sports Illustrated. So it was just a battle that year to just try to, you know, take that throne and let everybody know that we belong at the top of the heap, and, you know, being world champion. It was just great. And if you look back at the teams we beat, Utah, Phoenix, and then San Antonio, and then Orlando. It's so many Hall of Famers that we knocked off the block to win that championship.
I like it. Now, you were a Rocket first, then the Suns, then the Lakers, then the Spurs. At the end of the day, which one of those would you claim if you had to pick one? Like, who, if they all four had to play each other at the same time, who are you rooting for? You got to pick one now. You got to pick one.
I had to pick Houston because I still live here in Houston. You always want your your hometown team to do the best. And that's just, you know, Houston is a place that is such a melting pot of different cultures, different things coming into this city, and so easy to get here. I just love the city of Houston, and if I had to pick one, it would definitely be H-Town.
Well, Robert, talk about that, too. Talk about the fact you came from Alabama, and that's where you're from. You went to the University of Alabama, but at the same time, you mentioned it before, people don't take that human factor into consideration when you sign with a team, when you're drafted, when you have to make a new home, when you're asked to get up and leave, and you're traded from that home. But how that made a difference in your life, because you were a small town kid from Alabama, you end up in a new hometown that embraced you like none other, and now you've raised your family here. Your son Cameron's going on to Texas A&M to play football. It's just amazing how you don't plan on putting your roots in a certain city, but once you lay them down, it can be there for a lifetime.
Exactly. You know, the crazy part, coming out of college, I said, okay, I'm going to play in Houston, but live in Atlanta. I get to Houston, I'm like, oh, this city is great. Oh, the people are great. Oh, the food is great. Everything about the city was great. So I said, you know what, I'm not going to Atlanta, because I wanted to be in Atlanta, be close to my mom and dad, who wanted to live my dad's South Carolina, my mom in Alabama. But, man, Houston is a city I fell in love with, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to any place. And then, you know, you put those roots down. Funny, because I had just bought a piece of property, getting ready to build a big home right down the street from a new practice site that the Rockets was going to have. And then one day I find out I got traded. I'm like, oh, the world goes crashing down. And it makes you like, oh, man, what am I going to do now? But even when I got traded that first time to the Suns, I was like, you know what? I still love the city of Houston. My kids are established in school here. There's no point in going anywhere. And plus, there's no state tax.
Yeah, that's big.
Now I gotta say, Cameron going to A&M makes me happy, because I'm a huge Aggie fan. Were you a little disappointed that he didn't get, you know, Alabama a look at all? Or did he get? I know he had offers, right?
Yeah, he did. You know, the funny part is I left that whole process up to him, and him and his mom, and his mom was so mad, because, you know, she went to, we both went to Alabama. She was so upset that Alabama didn't recruit him. They sent a little courtesy letter, but it was just like some BS, right? So, but she was really hurt by it. I was like, this is, yeah, so you got to look at the bright side. Do you want to drive 8 hours and watch him play, or do you want to drive 2 hours to watch him play? It's a big difference. So, you know, I'm very proud of him. I'm excited that he's going to A&M. You know, and everybody was like, you're not mad that he didn't follow in your footsteps? I said, you know, every child has to find his own path, and my son has been that type of guy to his own trail, and I'm just happy for him that he's getting a free education, and I don't have to pay for it.
No doubt. And Robert, you know, we even talked about the fact that some people, when you look at the track record, there's very few that follow in their dad's footsteps in the same sport and succeed, as opposed to if they find their own niche, which Cameron did, which is fantastic. Robert Ory on the HRNP listener line, and I know you got things to do. We'll wrap it up with a few more, but one thing I wanted to ask you about, whether Ginobili comes back or not, you were his teammate. You played with a guy that had the passion. I wonder where he ranks in terms of your all-time teammates, and if you could put a list together of your favorite, of the most, say, just from a basketball perspective, your favorite five teammates, who would they be?
Yeah, my favorite five are Dream, Shaq, Kobe, Clyde, Sam, Vernon. You know, I ask this question all the time, who would my starting five be? And I would put Shaq at the center, Dream at the power forward, and Tim at the small forward, or have him come off the bench. And then Clyde, Kobe at two and three, and then Sam at the point. You know, and think about it, I played with so many great players, and you can actually tomorrow, you know, Clyde will be on the bench and Vernon will be starting, you know. So it's just, I was just blessed. So many great people, you know, I had a lot of great tutelage when I first got here. You know, Tree Rollins and Otis took me under their wing and showed me the right things and the wrong things to do, you know, in the NBA. And I was just very happy that I came to a veteran team. Not, you know, like a lot of guys, they go to a rookie team, you have a bunch of knuckleheads, next thing you know, you're going down the wrong path. And I was just very fortunate I came to a veteran team who was able to show me the professionalism of the NBA, and because you see a lot of these guys now, they're not professionals. They just happen to be getting paid, and they don't respect the game like they should.
Well, and Robert Ory, we were sorry we missed you too. By the way, we were supposed to be at BBVA Compass with you today, but thankfully you're joining us on the line. Put it to rest. Kenny brought it up again this week. I've brought it up in the past that Michael himself actually told Rudy that if they had played, you had the big Nigerian, and that he had no one to stop him. But if it was Bulls and it was Rockets and all the people that said, boy, if Michael was there and everything was what it should have been, the Bulls would have beat you. Your thoughts and feelings on that?
Man, they wouldn't have beat us. There's no doubt, because I played on the field, and I know how hard-headed Phil can be in the sense that he's not going to double-team. I know for a fact, because he killed me one year in the playoffs because he was doing moves I haven't seen before, and he annihilated us in the playoffs. And Dream would have did the same. You know, they had the three-headed monster. And people don't understand how good Vernon Maxwell was at playing Michael Jordan on defense and going back at Mike. You know, and I tell everybody, I'd have had Scotty a lot, so they wouldn't have beat us. Even if he would have went to small four or put me over at four where I could have guarded Horace Grant, I don't know what I did to him in 95. So, you know, put Mario on Scotty. So there's been no way they'd have won a championship. I know everybody thinks Michael Jordan is the best player in the world, but there's a guy that's right on his heels is one of the best players in the world, and that's Hakeem Olajuwon.
I like it. Hey, real quick, we had a listener, longtime Spurs fan, but he wanted to know. He said, "You played for three of the best coaches in the NBA. Who, if you had to put them in order, who would you pick as the best and rate all three of those guys?"
Rudy T is by far number one. You know, everybody wants to think, because you know the big misconception about championships make you the best player or make you the best coach. It's not the case. You know, I think Rudy's number one. Pop's number two for his ability to yell and take you to dinner and cuss everybody out, and players still follow you to the end of the day. And then Phil, he's last, you know, for me, because he had this system. He has the best player in the world. He's never really had to coach a team that had to go through an adversity. He just had a bunch of really good players out there and said, "Hey, on the triangle, I'm going to sit back and enjoy the success of these great players I got." So until I was seeing Phil in a situation where he had to coach somebody that wasn't upper echelon team, I can't really put him like, say, Rudy was, because Rudy, think about it, we only had one All-Star and we won a championship. That's probably never been ever been done before. And of course, Pop, he knows how to get the pieces right together and work together, so that's my order.
Nice. I don't disagree with you, Robert, because I said Red Auerbach's biggest problem with Phil Jackson over the years was it wasn't amongst superstars coming together and trades and free agency. It was his homegrown, home-pick talent, the way he built a team, and then once he built it, he coached it. And I think exactly. That's special. And you and I both know that Rudy made it like a family. And mm-hmm. Everything was on the table, and he wasn't afraid to say it in front of everybody, but he also wasn't afraid to pull you aside and say, "And what do I need to do for you so that I can help you be the best you can be?" So
yeah.
You're absolutely right. All right, so I just want to make clear, too, when we were hanging out back in the day, it was only movies, the library, putt-putt, golf, and video games. That's all we did. We didn't do anything other than that. Nothing that anybody else wouldn't do.
Don't forget dinner, man. We used to love to go to the movies. That was our number one thing.
Dinner and the movies, that's right. Well, good catching up, brother. I really appreciate you spending some time with us. Hope you and the family are well and continue to do so, and we'll catch up with you again.
All right, same to you, man. All right.
Robert Ory's been our guest. Thanks to BBVA Compass, where we were supposed to be, but 2200 Post Oak. If you need a great bank in the Galleria area, check them out and check out BBVA Compass all over the place, because they are great. We'll be back to wrap up the final segment right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I used to
be the kid. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, Joel, Joe George hovering.
Fat in the house.
Trying to scout us. That's what he's doing.
That's what he's doing. He don't want to see these handles.
Oh, boy.
That's the first thing we got to do is get Barry to bring the ball up the court on the first play. On the first play.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do. Just to watch it and videotape it.
Ashton better start setting a pick now. It's going to take a while for him to get into position.
Oh, man. Wow.
He's going at you guys.
It's trash talk time, bro. They're coming at us. It's what? take no prisoners. I just had an argument with another comic on Facebook. I'm feeling frisky now. Let's do this. Let's talk some smack. Get on the mic, Joe. Let's do this.
I heard a good line from AJ yesterday. Uh-oh. If you're not a shark, you're a guppy.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious.
Okay.
What? You're not going in with that mentality?
You're going to put that on your mirror?
This thing is like...
When you get up in the morning.
You're going to have a shirt made with that?
You can have a fin on the
I
back.
I really like that. I thought that was hilarious.
Really?
I thought it was funny the way he said
he
it.
He probably stole that
from
somewhere.
You're basically saying Joe George is a guppy?
I'm not saying Joe George is a guppy.
Are you sure?
I'm not.
Right. No. See, I was going to be a dick again, but I'm not.
What's stopping you now after
really?
Everything
Seriously,
that you said?
After all you've let go today.
I was going to say he's a whale.
A whale. Oh, wow.
Did you hear that? He just called you a whale.
But
that's not important.
Joe, at least he did it on the air.
What?
By the way, before
I thought we were supposed
here,
to talk trash. We're playing ball together. Look, he's leaving. Don't go away, man. Just go away.
Wow. All we right. do have the show that is probably interrupted what? And chimed in on the most. Between
I think,
interns
I think,
and the
yeah,
production studio.
But I think people are scared of the Blitz guys, which I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
And then no one likes Granato. So.
Wow.
So that's what it is. What? He dogged us for 30 minutes. I can't make one. Take one shot at him
like
on the way
it.
Out?
I like it.
All right.
And then there's Dell.
That's not Dell. That's you shouldn't do that one.
Yeah, it's a
that's
really not, bad Dell.
I don't
really,
care. That's
really bad.
He's
the
on
Granato I like.
No. You sound more like Casey Kasem than you do Dell when
keep
you do
Keep your feet
that.
On the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Now you sounded more like Dell.
Okay, here's man. This, by the way. The tragedy in Manchester this week.
Mm-hmm.
Just awful, right?
Terrible.
Yes.
And you really, there's a bunch of idiots in this world. And it's just, those are the kind of things that make you stop and say, hey, we're not only thankful for what we got, but we got to always be thankful for every day we got because we're wrapping up the week. I know we don't touch on those things on a regular basis, but the more that I'm watching all this stuff on the news and seeing all these things and the fact that we can go to sporting events and go to arenas and do the things that we're able to do, you just got to be thankful. I know security's up and it's been tight and they're getting more and more cautious around this country. But I'm just encouraging everybody to be thankful and be careful out there on Memorial Day weekend. And again, like I said earlier, basically be tip a cap to the servicemen and honor those that have died for you to have your freedom because. Man, it's a crazy world out there.
It's funny because AJ was talking yesterday. He was pretty adamant about don't tip a cap to a serviceman here.
Yeah.
Because Memorial Day is strictly
for those
that lost.
Have passed. Yeah.
Yeah. That have served and passed. And I don't know. I don't think I see where he's coming from. But at the same time, it never hurts to thank someone for their service.
Yeah. Memorial never. Day is that one day, but 365 days, you should appreciate those that lay it on the line every single day and night so that you can have the freedoms that you have.
Amen.
So with that, we wrap up another week. It's been a little hectic and chaotic on a Friday, but we made it work, and we make it work every day because of you guys. So we appreciate you, and we look forward to catching up with you again on Tuesday as we're off Monday for Memorial Day. We'll catch up with you Tuesday and all of next week, Tuesday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m., the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Addy, you okay? You okay? You okay,
Addy? ESPN 97.5.